Welcome to Live with Lon. I'm so glad that you're with us. So here we are, we're still in John chapter 11, and we're finishing up that chapter. So let's pray and we'll do that. Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are the sovereign God of the universe. Thank you for your word, which instructs us as the sovereign God of the universe, how you want us to live. Lord, how you want us to approach you, the way of salvation you created, all of this, Lord, how to get eternal life is all in the B-I-B-L-E. And we're so grateful that as we ride the B-I-B-L-E like a surfboard through this life and into eternity, it will never fail us or lead us incorrectly. So, Lord, we love the Word of God. And we pray today that you would use it in our lives in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, let's get to the Bible. We're in John chapter 11, and where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And I want to read a section of the chapter to you. We've already read this section previously, but I want to go back and look at a verse or two in this section as we move through. So, here we go. Beginning at verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same thing Martha said when she met Jesus. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Where were you? Where were you? Now, verse 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how much he loved him? But some of them said, could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, also have kept this man from dying? Now I want to skip ahead here to the very end of the chapter, and we're going to make our way there, but I want to skip ahead. And it says, from that day, verse 53, the Jewish leaders plotted to put him to death, Jesus. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple and said, what do you think? That he will not come to the feast? What's wrong? Why wouldn't he come to the feast? Where is he? Okay, now, the title of the message today is Criticize God's Ways? Question mark. How dare we? You know, the Bible says, Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, God made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the son of Israel. Okay, now that is a very key verse. Let's look at it again. It says, he, the Lord, made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. What does that mean? Well, it means the Israelites, the sons of Israel, got to see what God did. But he took the time to explain to Moses and help Moses understand his ways, not just his acts, but his ways. In other words, why he did what he did, the way he did, in the timing he did. Do you understand me? Now, when you walk with God for a long time, and you're faithful in his word and in prayer, God will begin to help you understand, like he did Moses his ways, not just his acts. See, when you first come to Christ, you, like the rest of the world, can see God's acts. In fact, as a believer, you can probably see them a little better because you see God everywhere, which the world doesn't understand, the people of the world who are not believers. You can see his acts, but that doesn't mean you understand his ways. In other words, you can see what he does, but you and I may not at that point in our Christian life understand why he does what he does, the way he does, how he does, when he does. Are you with me? But as we grow, God helps us, like Moses, to see that. You know, I've gotten to the point in my Christian life right now, 52 years, Lord, praise the Lord, that I've walked with the Lord Jesus, that sometimes I can almost sense how God's going to do something. I mean, I can't be 1,000% sure. And sure, of course, I'm wrong sometimes. But sometimes I can smell how God is going to do this. You say, how did you know that? I don't know. You walk with God long enough and the Holy Spirit begins to give you enough discernment that you begin to see how God did things in the past and you begin to develop this sense to smell how God's going to do something. These are his ways. Now, the Israelites, and remember, God said, Isaiah 55, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. His ways are above our ways. And he doesn't always do things the way logically it would make sense. He has his own ways about how he does things. You with me? Now, here in our passage, let's go back to John 11. What we have is a classic example, several of them, in this chapter, of people criticizing God for his ways, for the way he was doing something, and presuming in their human logic and intelligence that they understood better than God did the way he ought to do something. You with me? First of all, there was Mary and Martha. We already read in verse 32, then Mary came, and what did she say? Look at the verse. She said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Martha said the very same thing. Now, what is she doing? She's criticizing God's way of handling this situation. She said, you should have been here earlier, and you should have stopped my brother from dying. You shouldn't have let him die. You should have healed him. She's saying, this is the way it should have been done. This is the way you should have done it. Right? Criticizing his ways of how he does things. Now then, let's look down. When Jesus weeps, verse 36, and the Jews said, do you see how much he loved him? Watch, verse 37, and some of them said, well, if he loved him so much, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind, back in John chapter 9, could he not also have kept this man from dying? What are they doing? They're saying, they're being critical of the way the Lord Jesus was running this thing. He should have been here. If you loved him that much, why didn't he come and keep this man from dying? That makes sense to us. That's human logic that makes perfect sense to us. And what are they doing? They're saying the ways that Jesus is running this is not correct. And finally, let's look at the very end of the chapter. It says that the people sought Jesus among themselves as the Passover was beginning, as they stood in the temple. And what they said, what do you think? That he will not come to the feast? He's going to skip the Passover? Why isn't he here? He should be here. He should be here preaching in the temple. He should be here showing himself to the people. He should be here doing miracles and proving his messiahship. He should be here for no other reason, because that's what a good Jewish person would do for the Passover. They would go up to Jerusalem for the Passover, And what were they doing? They were criticizing the way he was running this. My point is, in this chapter, people are criticizing the ways of God all over the place. You see it? Do you see it? Now, that's the end of our chapter. Let's ask our most important question. Here we go. You ready? Come on now. One, two, three. So what? Yeah. What difference does this make for my life? Well, I'm going to tell you that right now, as soon as I thank the Lord that my surgery went well, because I believe that by faith it did, or else I'm with the Lord, and I'll thank God for that. You ready? How sweet it is! Or as Jackie would say it like Jackie would say it, how sweet it is! That's right. So what's the so what here? Very simple, my friend. Before we're critical of Mary and Martha, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. What are you doing? Before we criticize the Jewish people at Lazarus' tomb, hey, if he had really loved Lazarus the way he looks to have loved him, he could have certainly been here in time to save this man from dying. Where was he? And the people in Jerusalem getting ready for the Passover, where is he? He's not coming to the Passover? Where is he? He should be here. How often are we like these people? Really, seriously. How often do we take it upon ourselves to criticize God's ways? His way of doing what he does, when he does, how he does, and where he does. Those are his ways. How fast are we to criticize those? Even as believers, we do it. All the time. Mary and Martha did it as believers. Now, how dare we? Come on. How dare we criticize God's ways, that are above our ways, as far as the heavens are above the earth? Come on. I want you to take this away from today. I need to let God do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, where he wants to do it, in the way he wants to do it, without presuming to criticize him, or correct him, or make a suggestion to him, in my own human logic, puny logic, and wisdom. That's what I want you to take away from this. Let God be God. Let God run the world his way. You are not God. Let him run it his way. And be happy that he's running the world and not you and not me. I'm so happy God's running the world. He's running the world a lot better than I could run the world. And in the end, I end up benefiting every time from just letting God run the world the way he runs the world. But I'm still guilty as a sinful human being. When it doesn't work out the way I want it, I'm still guilty of going to him and going, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Why, if you loved him enough, you would have healed him. Well, where is he? How come he's not here? Lord, how come you doing this? And Lord, how come you do? And Lord, why didn't you? And how come you let them do this to? And hey, come on. You do that too. We all do that. Wisdom dictates. Spiritual growth and maturity dictates. Spiritual seasoning, walking with God, dictates that we get to the place where we say, Lord, you have your own way of handling this. It may not be the way I would handle it, and it may not be the way I would want to see it handled. But Lord Jesus, I'm not going to presume to criticize or tell you how to do things. I'm just going to trust you and ride this out with you, Lord. My friends, don't you think that it's offensive to God when we are like Mary and Martha and the crowd and the people in Jerusalem? Don't you think it's offensive to God when we dare to criticize his ways? Come on. That's like our, it's like a little child questioning, why we're making him put his clothes on, or why we're making him put a coat on to go outside, or why we're feeding him vegetables, criticizing, all this kind of stuff. You almost have to chuckle and go, how dare you? How dare you? You don't understand viruses. You don't understand what happens when you go out without a jacket. You don't understand broccoli and what it can do for your system. How dare you criticize me as your parent when you don't even know what's going on? Well, I think the Lord sometimes feels the same way. Hey, my friend, thank God that he's long-suffering. Thank God that he's patient. Thank God that he's kind and compassionate with us. Hey, but let's grow out of that, shall we? Let's become sensitive to doing it and grow out of it. I'll close with Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, Paul says, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. He's inscrutable. He's impossible for us to understand him. His ways are unfathomable to us. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now that's out of the New American Standard, because I love its choice of words. So, his ways are unfathomable, inscrutable. His judgments are unsearchable. Let's let him be God. Lord Jesus, please forgive us for the many times, every day, Lord, that we dare to criticize you and your ways of doing things and your way of handling things in our life. Jesus, please forgive us. And please teach us not to do this. If your ways are unfathomable, if they are inscrutable, if they are your judgments, if they are unsearchable, just help us be okay with that and just help us trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, God bless you. Bye now.